Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Well, today is part two from last week's text. The gospel reading for this Sunday, the sixth Sunday of Easter, pretty much picks up right where last week's left off. On the fifth Sunday of Easter. In last week's reading, Jesus promised us that there will be suffering. There will be suffering in this world. But then he lets us know that he will turn our sorrow and suffering into joy. That we only have to endure the hardship for a little while. But during our time on this earth, we will have to endure the hardships. It is with this fact in mind that Jesus continues his final address to the disciples, his farewell speech before he is taken into the hands of the Pharisees and is crucified. He explains to them the importance of prayer. He explains to them how we should view the Father. And more importantly, he explains how the Father views us. Our sermon for this morning focuses on these words. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world, and going to the Father. As a Christian, you probably know that you are a sinner. To be quite honest, there's a lot of shame involved in being confronted with sin. Not a whole lot of shame in saying I'm a sinner, but when it comes to specific sins before our face, things that we know that we've done wrong, there's a lot of shame. Shame before God, shame before others who might catch wind of it. But as Christians, instead of being shy about our sin, instead of just kind of wallowing in this shame of ours, we throw our sins before the Lord. We tell him that we have done wrong. We expose our faults and our hidden secrets to God, believing that God is ready to forgive, that God is ready to absolve. That's exactly what we did at the start of our service today. We call it confession and absolution. And the truth is that it would be wonderful if we could just be done with sin right there. Confess your sin and never have to worry about it again. Never commit it any longer. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand, because certainly when you confess and you hear those words of absolution, you are forgiven. It is finished. It is put away. It is done. But unfortunately, the old sinful part of us keeps on coming back. We could be absolved 1,000 times over, and the old sinful Adam in us will resurface again and again and again. It's the stance of the Christian. It's the Christian life. Believing this about ourselves, it makes it hard for us to pray. Why? Well, after all, why would God want to listen to us? Why would God want to grant us anything? We are sinners. We are unholy. We are unclean. And God is holy. God is clean. God is perfect. In comparison, there is no comparison. Because of this fact, there is always that fear of God. So it's hard to pray. It's hard to realize that God actually does want to hear from us, that God actually does want to give us good things. But the truth is that having difficulty with prayer isn't anything new either. The disciples were faced with the same difficulty too. You might remember the Garden of Gethsemane. What does Jesus say? Stay over here and pray with me for a while. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to pray and you guys stay here and pray. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes back after about an hour and lo and behold, what are the disciples doing? They're sleeping. Jesus over here praying perfectly. The disciples over here found not praying at all. They're sinners. They struggle with this prayer thing, and so are you. You are a sinner. I am a sinner, which means that none of us pray as we ought. Just for as a quick example anyway, how many times does your mind wander when we have what we call the prayer of the church? Once? Twice? Every petition? How many times do we mindlessly pray the Lord's Prayer without even thinking about what the words say? My friends, the truth is that it is hard to pray. As sinners, we have a very difficult time with it. But the Lord knows this too. And that's exactly why He has given you something called the Most Excellent Prayer. You know it by another name. The Lord's Prayer. You see, in praying the Lord's Prayer, you pray for everything you could possibly need. In every petition, you cover all of your bases, that everything you could possibly imagine, you have prayed for. And seeing that the Lord gives us this prayer, it shows us two things. Prayer is a privilege. It is a privilege to go to a God who desires to hear us. It is a privilege to go to God, to call upon His name in every trouble as you pray. It's a gift. It's a gift to ask Him and know that He really cares enough to give you what is always best for you. But it's also a command. It's also something that you're obligated to do because God tells you to do it. Pray. Pray to your Father who is unseen. See, whether you realize it or not, your prayer is directly related to your faith. If you believe that your Heavenly Father is listening, if you believe that Jesus' words are true, that is, that the Father Himself actually loves you, if you believe that Jesus came from God, that means that Jesus humbled Himself to become a man, and that Jesus returned to the Father, meaning now in 2016, He lives glorified once again, reinstated to His proper place in heaven. If you believe these things, then you will want to pray. You will rejoice in prayer. You will look forward to prayer. But for how many of us is that the case? See, this is why everything flows out of and back into Jesus. The only reason that God hears our prayers is because of Jesus. The only reason that we can go and pray to our God who is holy, even though we are not, is because of Jesus. It's because of what He has done. It's not as if we pray to Jesus and Jesus somehow relays our message to the Father. In fact, Jesus tells us that prayer doesn't work like that at all. He says it's in fact is just the opposite of that. It's not as if I'm going to deliver your prayers to God, but instead Jesus opens the door. Jesus is the doorway through which we walk and we have direct access to God the Father. Even poor, miserable sinners who can approach Him with our requests. Because Jesus died first. Because Jesus was the perfect prayer. Because Jesus was the perfect resurrected Lord. Because Jesus conquered death. Because Jesus conquered sin. Because Jesus conquered Satan. And now nothing can prevent us from going to the Father. The Father loves you for Jesus' sake. And so, dear Christians gathered here this morning, Believing in Jesus' name, believing that what he has done on this earth, that he has done for you, you can approach God directly. He is your true Father. You are his true children. And with all boldness and all confidence, you may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Because Jesus has taken your punishment. Jesus has taken your sin onto himself. He has paid that price for you. He has shed his blood for you. That innocent blood that when God sees you now, he no longer sees the sinner. He sees the sinless. He sees his child, and he only wants what is best for you. As we started this morning, we learned that there will be hardship in this world. And it's true. In fact, every day is a day of hardship on this side of heaven. For every day we live in that struggle with sin. And so in the midst of the atrocities of this world, in the midst of the atrocities of our own sin, pray to your Father in heaven. For he longs to hear you. And he longs to give you every good thing. And so in John 16, Jesus teaches us. He teaches you that you should pray to your Father every single day on this earth. He teaches you that your Father not only wants to give you good things, but has promised to do so. He promises that when he sees you, he does not see a sinner, but he sees one who has been purchased by Jesus Christ, your Savior, who on this sixth Sunday of Easter has lived a perfect life, has died an innocent death, and has risen to take away all of your sins. Thanks be to God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your prayer in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.